little warm, yeah. This morning, we're going to hopefully at some point get back to finishing up the book of Acts that we've been going through from a messianic Jewish perspective. This morning, we're taking a break and talking about, we've been kind of in a small series on prayer. And so I thought it fitting as we go into this new year to talk about being thankful in prayer and thanksgiving in prayer. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll begin to look at God's word here. Father God, we thank you so much for everything you have done for us. We acknowledge that you are our God, that you are King, that you are Lord, that there is no God like you. And Lord, this morning, we pray that our hearts will be focused on what you want to say through your word. We ask that you'll give us understanding of your word by the Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. One of the main verse that I chose for this topic, which is Thanksgiving and prayer, is Ephesians chapter 5:20. And it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Yeshua Messiah. Giving thanks always for all things. Just think about that for just a second, that verse, what it's saying. Giving thanks always for all things. You know, when we're here on Shabbat morning, that's pretty easy to do, right? Sometimes, or maybe not. Maybe it's still not easy to do. I don't know. But when throughout the week, as we go through the week, and there's things that happen that we're not very happy about, this verse should come back to our minds. We're supposed to be giving thanks for all things. How do we do that? You know, and that's part of what we're going to be talking about this morning, because I don't think God would tell us to do something if it wasn't possible. For us as believers, we're supposed to be doing this. He doesn't just tell us to do these things and go, oh, I know you're never going to get it, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to waste my divine breath to tell you this, but you're never going to get it. You know, you're never going to be able to do it. No, of course he doesn't do that. So we must be able. Now, I'm not saying we'll get perfect at it, but we should be able to thank God in every situation, in every circumstance that goes on in our life. But how? Because I'm certainly not there yet. Pastor Sam, how could you preach about it? Well, that's why I preach. I preach to myself. whenever the Lord puts something on my heart, I'm preaching to myself. I'm not. Whether you guys get anything out of this or not, I'm still going to get something out of it today, okay? Because I'm going to learn, and hopefully the Lord's going to speak through me, and hopefully I'll hear it and put it into practice. So when I do this, it's preaching. I'm preaching to myself, not just to you guys, but I think we all share something. We all share humanity. We're all humans in this room this morning. There's something else we all share. We share a sin nature. Hopefully, I hope everybody in this room shares something else, that you have a new nature in Messiah Yeshua. So we have a new nature, but we still have that old nature that's hanging out, and that old nature doesn't like to be thankful for anything, usually. Notice how quickly, even after God does something really, really, really awesome, how quickly we find something to complain about, usually. I'm talking about myself. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you guys never do that, but I do that. Very quickly. Remember, and I've said this multiple times, and we're going to talk about it in probably next week's Torah portion, might be the one after that. 3 days after going through the Red Sea, 3 days after God parted the Red Sea, totally destroyed the Egyptian army, what is Israel doing? Yeah, there's no water. God brought us out. He did all those things just to kill us in the desert. That's our attitude most of the time. God does incredible things. Last week, he did some incredible things in your life and mine. I've already forgotten most of them. Unless I write them down, I forget. But what are the things I remember? Oh, man, last week was really hard because of this and because of that. Typically, that's what we remember. So how can we have a heart that is thankful? in all things. This is a quote by Isaac Walton. I've recently picked up, started to try. I can't really do it right now. It's winter time. I started late in the season. I've trying to do fly fishing. Trying. Okay. Just recently. Well, Isaac Walton actually was an incredible fly fisherman, but he was also an incredible man of God. And just some of the things that I've read about him, he was back in the, most of us have probably never heard of him because he was back in like the 1600s, late 1600s, around that time. But he says this, God has two dwellings, one in heaven and the other in a meek and thankful heart. Two places where he likes to reside. Yeah, one in heaven, high above us, but the other in a meek and a thankful heart. And my encouragement to myself, to all of us this year, since we have a whole year ahead of us, 364 days left, because you have most of today too, part of today. We're almost halfway through already. Why not make this a year of living every day with a thankful heart before God, a meek and thankful heart? If we just do that, this year will be incredible. This year will be incredible. See, because to be thankful, there's some other things that have to happen. You can't fake a thankful heart, before God especially. And so we're going to talk about what needs to be there. Now, the last few weeks we've been talking about prayer, and we talked about praise and surrender in prayer. Well, having a heart of praise, and I have to backtrack a little bit at this because when we truly have a heart to praise God, we have to be thinking about him and who he is. And when you dwell on who God is, when we meditate on who God is, you can't help but praise him. That's the natural result of truly understanding who God is. If we begin to actually understand how merciful he is, how holy he is, how righteous he is, how loving he is, how good he is, that he is a God who judges, and he judges fairly, that he is a God that, yes, will discipline, but he is also a God that does that always for the purpose of bringing people to himself. It says God is not willing that any should perish, that any should die, but that all should come to repentance. So when you start to meditate on God, whether it be in the Psalms, or whether it be New Testament, Tanakh, Old Testament, whatever, we call the New Testament in Messianic circles the Brit Hadashah, the covenant, the new covenant. Whatever that might be, whatever God is putting on your heart to meditate on who he is, the result of that should be a desire to praise him. Now, when we begin to praise him, when we have a heart and attitude of praise, a second result of that should be we recognize how great this God is, and that furthermore, we can trust him. He's trustworthy. God is trustworthy. I am not always trustworthy. Pastor, well, you're not either. We just aren't. We even try to be. I messed up big time 2 weeks ago. Didn't even know it. I didn't try to mess up. I didn't try to hurt somebody's feelings, but I did. I did it inadvertently. Now, sometimes I try, and that's really bad. Most of the time, not. But this one, I had no clue. But it still happened. Why? Because I'm not trustworthy. Even on my best day, I have a problem remembering. Just ask my wife. The conversations we have that I, you know, anymore, I don't even argue about it because I know she's right. She's got a much better memory than I do. Well, that's not true. I do argue about it still sometimes. But I'm starting not to. I'm getting to that place where it's like, you know what? She's going to be right anyways. And even if I'm right, she's still going to be. Anyways, no, we won't go there. But 9 times out of 10, she's right, and I'm not trustworthy because I don't remember. I don't remember. God always remembers. He doesn't have a problem. He remembers every single promise he ever made to us. We forget him, but he remembers. And he will fulfill it. He is trustworthy. When you start to meditate on just one aspect of who God is, you can't help but come to this place of saying, wow, I need to praise him. I need to thank him. And the second thing that should result from that is recognizing all those things I'm not. All those good things that God is that I'm not. Therefore, I need to surrender to him. I need to come before him and surrender to him, to his desires, to his will. Now, if we're at a place of praising and surrendering in prayer, and I don't mean like, once again, I've said this before, not every single time you pray. There are times that you just have to pray in the moment, and you don't have time to go through this process. But there should be times throughout the week, times throughout the day that we just take aside to be with God. And let me encourage you, as I've been also trying to do as well, taking that time to first praise him, to surrender to him, to thank him for all of the great things he did. And if you can't think of anything, thank him for your salvation. Start there. Because that's the biggest thing to begin with. But if we are praising him and surrendering him, it produces a heart full of thanksgiving. That's how we can truly be thankful. We can start to be thankful in every situation. See, because when we praise him, there's three things that happen. We have the right attitude. We have the right position. And when we praise him, we also have the right... I forgot what the other one was. But anyways, that's all right. There's three things. Got to look it up. See what I mean? I'm not trustworthy. I forget my own messages. But praise and surrender in prayer produces a heart full of thanksgiving. Sincere giving of thanks from his children, from God's children, brings joy to the heart of God the Father. You want to bring joy to God's heart this year? Then sincerely give him thanks. What do I mean by that? Well, don't just give him thanks to try to manipulate him. Well, thank you, God. Thank you so much. Now I have my other list I want to bring before you. You know, we have all these games that we play, and I don't understand why we think we can get away with it. This is God we're talking about. I might be able to bamboozle you people for a little bit, just a little bit, because you guys are pretty sharp. But I might be able to bamboozle my family, my kids. I might be able to pull something over on them. Dell's face just cracked me up. He had that look that he gives sometimes. But you know what? You can't do that to God. Ever. He knows the things that we were even thinking before they even got to our lips. He knows them before they even get there. You can't pull a fast one on God. I know we're very serious about God, but God created humor as well. That's got to be one of the most humorous things to God sometimes. The games we try to play. Because he already knows. He's sitting up there going, you forgot you tried that one last month. You already forgot the result. Hey, angels, take a look at this one. Look what he's trying to pull now. Nowhere it says in Scripture, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. It's not always about this serious, you know, we are so serious about everything, aren't we? So serious. Especially when it comes to God. Now, we have to respect God. Don't get me wrong. We need to definitely be respecting God. But you know what? Think about the situation. If you're a father, think about the relationship you have with your children. We are his children. Not only Not only do we need to respect him, but we also need to fellowship with him. And I believe he enjoys playing jokes sometimes on his children. Nice jokes, not bad ones. He enjoys messing with us, just like we enjoy, my children enjoy messing with me. You know, it's not all about this serious thing. I have to do this. I think God half the time is going, lighten up! What's the worst that can happen to you? You could die. Guess the first person you're going to see? Him. That's what he's saying to us half the time. But really, guys, are you that upset about possibly seeing me? Remember what it says in Scripture? The Lord delights in the death of his saints. That one always was like weird to me at first. You know, well, how can God delight in his people dying? Because this is not all there is. And we've never seen him before physically. And he's excited about introducing himself in the face-to-face, introducing himself to us. Have anybody in this room ever actually face-to-face seen Yeshua? Oh, maybe you saw him in a dream and you think, oh, that's definitely Yeshua. But have you ever? No, we haven't. One of these days, we will. We will. Whether it be when we're raised incorruptible or whether it be when we die. But we're going to see him and he's excited about that. We're the ones that's all, oh my goodness. Oh, we should be thankful. See, that's another reason why we can be thankful. We don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear it. You know, the people that seemingly don't fear death should be fearing death. The suicide bombers, all the stuff that we have going on today, they should be the ones in fear because what they're going to see on the other side is not what they expected. But we've been told what to expect. We're going to see him. It's going to be over and above our understanding, our expectation, our best dreams. It's going to go surpass all of that. Most of you, hopefully all of you, have at some point experienced his presence. Hopefully you have. Wow, I tell you what. I've experienced a little of his presence down here multiple times. And if being in his presence, if that's just, I mean, that's just like a fraction of what it's going to be like to actually be in his presence. The joy, the peace, the absolute love. I don't know how else to describe it. When you really experience God's presence, it's absolute love. Unrestrained, unfettered love. We don't experience that most of the time. But those little glimpses that we have of his glory, of his love, oh my gosh. Imagine that. Increased thousands and thousands of times for all eternity. It's what we have to look forward to. Now, I've never been high, drug-wise, thank God. I have been drunk once. Wasn't that big of a deal. Actually, it kind of made me think I'd never want to do this again. But any experience that you and I can have that makes us feel good down here on earth, that gives us some type of whatever, great feeling, doesn't even come close to his presence. Why do you think Paul says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess? What does he compare it to? But be filled with the Spirit. There is a comparison there. It's not just him saying, don't do this. Yes, we shouldn't do that. But he says, you know what? If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be kind of like drunk all the time. But you'll be in control, self-control. That's a gift of the Spirit. See, that's the awesome thing about being filled with the Spirit. You don't lose your control. You give it to him. But there's self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. And yet you're content and you're happy and you're joyful. I know I'm way off track about Thanksgiving and prayer, but not really. Because if we have that heart of thanksgiving and prayer, see, part of the reason why we got to the part about walking in the Spirit is you can't really have a heart of thanksgiving all the time and everything without walking in the Spirit, without having that the Holy Spirit in our heart. Because guess what? The moment I stop walking in the Spirit, I get cranky, I get annoyed, I get, you know, fearful once again, I get worried. All of those things come back. Why? Because I'm not walking in the Spirit. So sincere giving of thanks from his children brings joy to the heart of God. Sincere giving of thanks gives glory unto God. And sincere giving of thanks increases our faith and the faith of those who hear. Now let's talk about this a little bit. Praise and surrender in prayer produces a heart full of thanksgiving. Now, we see the result of not praising God, Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, when we don't thank God, when we don't praise God, it says here, they were not thankful. What happens? Life becomes futile. Do you want to have a meaningful, successful, purposeful year? Then fill it with thanking God. Because it will be purposeful. It will be meaningful. It will be fulfilling. Apart from that, it becomes futile. Another year to do what? Try to survive? Think about what a lot of the people, they're just happy they made it to another year. I didn't die this year. What a defeatist attitude to have. Thank God he brought me through another year. Yes, that he sustained me, brought me to this season. Thank God for this new year that he's given me to glorify him. If I die, I go to be with him. We give him glory for that. But if I get to live through another year, it's going to be awesome as I walk in the Spirit. Because I get another opportunity to glorify God and to do his will this year. That's the only thing that really is going to matter for all eternity. It doesn't matter if I get to do what I want to do this year. It's futile. There are some things I'd like to do. There are definitely some things I'd like to do this year. But you know what? They have to take second place to whatever God wants for me this year. Whatever he wants, whether it's exciting or seemingly mundane, what God wants has to be number one. If it is number one, then he'll give us everything else. What we have many scripture verses that talk about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, all these things will be added unto you. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more and more you find that to be true. Those of you that have walked with the Lord, you find him adding all those things that you, those hopes, those dreams, those other things, he adds to us. And you know what? We have all eternity for those things to be fulfilled too. What do you think we're going to be doing up there for all eternity? Playing harps, floating around on car or in clouds? Who wants to do that? Of course not. Well, some of you might like harps and clouds, but we're going to be worshiping him. We're going to be praising him. But he knows all the desires of our hearts. He created us. And whatever he has planned is way better than anything that we have here. But we have to trust him. But the awesome thing is he even gives us those things here. There are so many desires of my heart that have been fulfilled in this life as I've trusted him. Remember what he says? Anybody willing to give up house and home and family and all this stuff. And don't get me wrong. There's people that relate that completely wrong. And they go, oh, I need to leave my wife and kids and go off and serve the Lord. Let them just deal with whatever. No, it says he who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Worse than an infidel. About the only place in Scripture where you see that word infidel is for somebody not providing for their family. Of course, that's not what God is saying there. He's saying we have to put him before everybody and everything else. If we do that, everybody and everything else, including our families, will be blessed off the charts. God will take care of them and us. But so many times we put ourselves first. We put what we want before that. And because of that, we end up living futile lives. We end up living futile lives. Lives that seemingly have no purpose and no meaning. How many people walk around all the time? I have people come in my office all the time going, I just don't feel like my life has any meaning. You know what? What they're really saying is, I haven't done what I want to do, what I think I should do, and people haven't recognized me the way I think they should recognize me, and so therefore, I feel I'm worthless. Here's the problem. When we realize our value before the Lord, which can only come as we praise Him and worship Him and thank Him, as we see His value, He shows us our value. And then, you know what? You could just have a really boring day and be so excited and be so thankful and be so happy because you're loved by God. And as long as He's telling you to just do what you're doing, then do it and be thankful and be grateful, because guess what? If we're faithful in those little things, He will give us more things to do. He will give us greater things. Look at the lives. Look at Moses. How many years? 40 years. I'm only 47, almost. Still 46, but only 47. Moses, 40 years he spent in the court of Egypt, learning and growing and becoming a politician or whatever, thought he was ready to deliver his people. God said, no, not even close. Not even close. You got the attitude, you got an ego, you have a lot of skill, but you're not even close to be ready to lead people. You got to go practice with sheep for 40 years. Once you get done practicing with sheep, then you'll be ready to come back and practice with people. So He sends him out to the wilderness to do nothing from our perspective. What? Walk around with sheep for 40 years. Wow, that was productive. From our perspective, who would send your best, sharpest person right out of college, CEO material, out to the desert to tend sheep? Only God. That's God's kingdom. That's the way He works. That's the way He thinks. Because there's something that is so much more important than having all that skill. And it's called humility. Being humble. Recognizing who's really in control. By the time Moses got done, he was like eloquent and all this when he was 40, right? Eloquent, could speak, could talk to anybody. But I'm going to get out. I'm going to rescue my people. How dare they treat my people that way? Ooh, the leader, the kind of leader we want, right? God said, no, you're not ready. 40 years out in the wilderness with the sheep, time he gets done, he can't even talk to a person anymore. He says, I'm slow of speech. I've been talking to sheep for 40 years. Bah! I know how to do that, but I don't know how to do much more. God, you can't use me to deliver your people. I'm not ready. No, Moses, now you are ready. See, from God's perspective, he was ready. Moses is like, no, I can't do it. So God says, fine. Let's get Aaron. He'll speak for you, but I still want you to go. Still want you to go. Moses ends up doing most of the talking, if you notice. God empowers him to speak. God empowers him to do exactly what he called him to do. So you and I have to see it the same way. You might have, next year might be incredible for you. You might be accomplishing things that you never expected that you could do, things you've always wanted to do for the Lord. It might be that way, and that would be awesome. Or next year might be another mundane year of learning how to tend sheep. But you're still accomplishing God's will. Because God never misses a moment with us. We miss moments with Him, don't we? But He even uses our mess-ups. That's the awesome thing about God. Even when we blow it, He uses that in the process of making us more like Him, of making us more like Yeshua. In fact, sometimes those things are more effective. Why? Because, see, when I'm doing well, my pride, my ego is also doing well usually. My ego is usually intact. But when I blow it, my ego gets crushed. My pride gets crushed. That's exactly what needs to happen to it. And so then I'm coming back to God going, okay, God, I thought I could handle this, but obviously I couldn't. And the Lord's like, yeah, now you're listening. Now you're going to do it my way instead of your way. And we grow. We trust. God is not as concerned. I mean, he is concerned all the time. He's way more concerned than we are for ourselves. But let me say this the way I mean it. He's not worried about your process of holiness. Do we get that? He's not worried. God does not sit up there losing sleep over us. Oh my goodness, Dell, what am I going to do with him? Oh, wow. Couldn't sleep all night, angels. No. He's not worried. We're the ones that worry. Remember what it says in Scripture. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He will finish it. His plan for you and me, his good plan for you and me, it's already figured out. What you and I have to do is trust him and thank him. We see the result of not thanking him. Our minds become futile. We become futile in our thoughts. So sincere giving of thanks brings joy to the heart of God the Father. Let's talk about that for just a second. Sorry, I'm off. This isn't working for some reason. Sincere giving of thanks brings joy to the heart of God the Father. Yeah, now it's working. I'm annoying you. I'm sorry. That never happens, right? That's so surprising. No, I'm just playing. Okay, I got to go back. Where are we here? Oh, wow, we're way back. All right, here we go. Sincere giving of thanks brings joy to the heart of God the Father. Rejoice always. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Messiah Yeshua for you. That's his will. That's what he wants us to be doing. Rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks. See, this brings joy. What brings joy to the heart of God? Not us, you know, being cute. I mean, I think he does think we're cute sometimes, but that's not the point, okay? We're not supposed to be down there going, if I dance enough and sing loud enough and whatever, that's going to bring joy to God's heart. I think God does enjoy our praises. Don't get me wrong. But what God really enjoys is when we do his will. Not just talk about doing his will. Not just praise him for all the great things he's done, but do his will. What brought joy? What made God delight in Yeshua? In the servant? It's that he did God's will. There is action involved there. Not just words, but following it up with concrete things that you and I do. That brings joy to the heart of God. Not just whatever we want to do, but according to his will. God has told me to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it by his power and his strength. We don't do it even in our own strength. So that brings joy. But giving thanks also brings joy to the heart of God the Father. It has to be sincere. A thankful heart attitude is the result of sincere praise and surrender to the will of God, as we talked about earlier. Sincere giving of thanks gives glory unto God. Now, if we remember the story about a Samaritan giving glory to God, okay, when he was healed from leprosy, if you look at Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, it says, "Now it happened as he, Yeshua, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers,
who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that they went, and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said to him, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Notice what he did. He returned and gave thanks. The rest of them ran off. They were cleansed. They ran off into back to their lives, back to whatever they were doing before. And this one Samaritan, that means he was half Jewish. He was. There are still Samaritans today. There's about 700 left in a community. They still have their own rights and they do their own thing in Israel. But this Samaritan says, wait a second. I'm clean. Probably couldn't even go see the priest, really, when you think about it. He was a Samaritan. I'm clean. I got to go find Yeshua. I got to thank him. And look at what he does. He comes and he prostrates himself. He bows down before him and he thanks him. You see Yeshua going, no, 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 wait a second. Wait, stand up. No, because he is God. So he prostrates himself before Yeshua and he's thanking him and he's glorifying God. That's what you and I should do when God does something awesome in your life and mine. This should be our response. Not just, oh, thanks, God. See you next time I have a need. When the list fills up again, we'll talk. I'm good for now. No. You know, sometimes we go and even we come to the fellowship, don't we? And we come and we're better, but we don't give God glory. See, what did they do? They went and showed themselves to the priest. Wow, you guys got cleansed. I thought you were lepers. Yeah, we're clean now. Well, how'd you get cleansed? Well, some guy, he prayed over us. I don't know. What did they tell the priest? They weren't giving God glory for it, obviously. This one man comes back and gives God glory. And he's a Samaritan. That should be our attitude every time. God, thank you so much. You deserve all praise and all glory for what you did, for what you did. He returned in humility, in surrender, full of praise and thanksgiving. See, once again, we have those three things. We have humility, we have praise, we have surrender, and we have thanksgiving. They go hand in hand. They work together. He returned, he gave glory to God, and Jesus says something really awesome. Yeshua says something really awesome to him. He's saying, your faith made you well. Now, we misunderstand this. There's whole groups out there that are like into faith healing, and I'm using that term loosely. I know it can mean many different things, not trying to offend anybody in any way. But what I am saying is sometimes we misunderstand these passages. He was already cleansed from the leprosy. What is Yeshua talking about here? He's not talking about his physical anymore. What is he saying? Your faith, coming back and giving glory to God and thanking me, that has made you whole in every way. You're not just clean from the leprosy. Every aspect. Just think about being a leper for however many years these guys were lepers. What's the emotional cost of that? You know, if I was a leper, how would Dell respond to me? Everywhere I went. Huh?
I love you. Anyways. But just imagine being a leper, walking around, and everybody's, oh, get away, get away. Come on, kids, stay away from that man. Can't even show your face. Can't be in community ever, unless it's with other lepers. For how many years? We don't know. We always think of the physical. But I believe what Yeshua is saying here is, not only are you clean physically, but all that brokenness in your heart has just been healed. You're healed. You're loved by me. And that's enough to heal it completely. Have you ever seen somebody healed from such brokenness, and they are so filled with love towards everyone else? Why? Because they've experienced true healing, and it's gone deep into their hearts. And they don't think like they used to think. They're not an outcast. See, if you're okay with him, you're not an outcast anywhere on this planet. If we're okay with him, if we have his healing, if we are his children, we're not an outcast anywhere. I don't care what people say. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people say, you don't belong here. I belong wherever God tells me to go. I belong. I belong in his will. I belong everywhere he tells me to go. In fact, I belong more than anyone else if he's told me to be there. Doesn't matter what type of rejection. See, people, we unfortunately, as people, many times, we use rejection for the purpose of control. To control. And God is telling him, you are free in every way now. You have been made well. And it doesn't matter what those priests say about your background or your lineage or your heritage or anything. You're mine. And that trumps all the rest of it. That's above all the rest of it. We're not talking about Trump either. Anyways, can't use that anymore. Anyways, that's above all the rest of it. It's above all the rest. So his faith made him well. Trusting and coming back to the Lord in faith and thanking him and giving God glory. Finally, we were just talking, sincere giving of thanks increases faith, especially for those that you share it with. If you're thankful about something, share it with other believers. You know, we don't have a lot of this, but there's no reason why we can't have more of it. Come to me and say, if you want to share a testimony, come and talk to me about it. I do want to talk to you about it before you do it, because I don't want agendas being pushed. It's not about pushing our own whatever agenda. But if you have something that you want to thank God for, come and talk to me about it and share it with everyone else. Because we need to hear those things in the body of Messiah. So we encourage each other. 1 Corinthians 14:16. It says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? What this is actually talking about is the gift of tongues. Now, it is not demeaning the gift of tongues. It's not saying it's a bad thing. People misuse the scripture. I believe all the gifts are for today, every single one of them. I believe there's a place for all of those gifts. And we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit before in the past. But what this passage is saying is if I, before all of you, if I thanked God in tongues, none of you would understand what I was saying. Now, if I did it in Hebrew, some of you might catch up a little bit. I couldn't even do it probably in Hebrew. I'm not fluent in Hebrew. I can read it, but I'm not fluent. But if I did it in this other language that you don't understand, you wouldn't be able to glorify God and agree with me. So all Paul is saying here is
we need to share with each other in a way that we all understand, so we can agree together, so we can be excited together, so it encourages all of our faith. It increases all of our faith. Remember, Paul says in another passage, I speak in tongues more than you all. He's not saying he doesn't do it, but he's saying when he's with a group of believers, unless there is some incredible reason, and then there needs to be an interpretation, he speaks in a language everybody can understand. And secondly, sincere giving of thanks makes us partakers of the inheritance. Look at Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Now, that's not what makes us partakers, but we should give thanks because we are partakers. We should give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We have an inheritance that he has given us. And that's another reason why we should be thanking him. And the more we thank him for that inheritance, yeah, we haven't received it all yet. We have received some of it. If you're a believer in this room, you have the Holy Spirit. You have salvation already. But we haven't seen the full benefit of that yet. But we thank God because we believe him and trust him that that is going to happen. So we give thanks because he has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Ephesians 5:4. Neither filthiness, so the next part is speak words of faith. Not the words of this world, but words of faith to each other. We shouldn't be speaking filthiness or foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. You know, even when you're doing jokes, fun jokes, jokes that you don't think can hurt people sometimes, sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. It can be pointed and it can still hurt. And so we need to be careful about that. But you know what? I've never seen people offended. Well, I've seen people offended because they have false pride, but I've never seen people offended if you go up to them and you thank God for them. Never seen people really offended. There might be a few people that might be like, oh, don't thank me, just thank God. You know, I used to say that all the time too. And you know what? The problem with that, it becomes a cliche almost. And, you know, I used to say that, but actually I was like, whoa, that was pretty nice. They were thanking me. So I wasn't really doing that. So, you know, I learned after a while to just say thank you. Now, if somebody comes up and, oh, Pastor Sam, that was the best message ever. I'll look at them. Then I'm like, okay, just chill out. You need to thank God. No, that wasn't me. If you're getting that much out of it, that's great, but you need to thank the Lord for it. Okay, there's times that we need to make that clear, but normally people already know. What they're really saying is, I am thanking God for you, and they just want to say thank you. It's okay to receive a thank you. We have this attitude in the body of Messiah where we can never receive a thank you. No, can't have one now. I want all my thank yous when I go to heaven. What if the Lord says, I was going to give you a thank you down there, but you said no, so therefore you miss out on this one. But God, your thank you was already down there. It was waiting for you, but you said no. So, you know, no, I'm just playing. I don't think God would do that, but still. We have to understand it's okay to say thank you to somebody, and it's okay to receive it. That's okay. Because, see, what people are really doing is out of the joy of that fellowship, they're thanking you, but they're really also thanking God. Once again, if somebody isn't, then make it clear. And that's especially true with unbelievers. Sometimes unbelievers don't understand that. Speak words of faith. Ephesians 5:4 says, neither filthiness nor... Oh, yeah, we just talked about that. Those things are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And also, Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. See, thanksgiving is like a sacrifice to God. It's fruit of our lips. We don't have a lot that we can give to God, right? We really don't. I mean, if you look at it back in the Tanakh, back in the Old Testament, back in the Torah, they seemed to have a lot more that they could bring to God. You really think God was pleased with sacrifices of goats and cattle and all these things? No, what he was pleased with was the act of faith coming before him. The obedience, that's what pleased him. In fact, Hebrews says, the blood and bulls of bulls and goats could never make us right before God. It was the faith. It's the same thing today. We need to come before him in faith, thanking him, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. Don't need to go find a bull or a goat and sacrifice it. God doesn't want that. He wants our life. He wants our faith. He wants our trust in him. Those are the things that bring him joy. What we do and say should be in faith. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And finally, thankful for all things, what we started with, and hopefully we have a better understanding of how we can begin to be thankful for truly everything. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Yeshua. And finally, 1 Timothy 2:1. Therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's what he tells us to do. You know, there's definitely faith active there, because you can be praying for somebody who doesn't really have a heart to follow God at all, but you're praying for them that God will work in their heart. And by faith, you thank God for answering that prayer. You thank him for those small things that you see as God begins to do a work in their life. So, Lord, this morning, I pray that we will have hearts full of thanksgiving as we worship you, as we praise you, as we surrender to you, that you will fill our hearts with thankfulness for everything you have done and what you continue to do, and in faith, what you will do, that we can thank you that you always keep your promises. Lord, I pray for each person here. I just ask as we go into this new year, Lord, whether we make resolutions or not, or whatever it is, Lord, that we will be committed to you, that we will be committed to thanking you in this new year, to seeking you in this new year, and to walking in your spirit and walking in humility before you. Be with each person here. Lord, throughout this week, continue to remind us to be thankful, to thank you for everything. And Lord, if we start thanking you, we usually come up with many reasons to praise you as well. So Lord, I pray that that will be our heart this week, that that will be our hearts. Passion and focus is you. We thank you for everything you have done in our lives this morning, for everything you have done in this last year. We do thank you for everything, Lord, because even those hard times focused us on you, got us back to looking at you and what you say and what your word says. And so, Lord, we thank you, and we pray all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen. We'll bless the hall in faith this morning. There's no hall, so yeah. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Oops. By the way, if you would like to help with the making of challah, when, you know, Bubby has been making really awesome challahs for weeks on end. Bobby, sorry.
I call her Bubby, too. She's Bubby to my kids, Bobby to me, I know, whatever. Bobby has been making wonderful challahs for weeks. If you would like to learn the recipe or try to do it, talk to her when she feels better, and I'm sure she would love to have help from time to time. Or if you'd like to help, and they make challahs in different places, let us know. And so if you'd like to help in that area, that would be something that would be great. So, also, let's do the blessing over the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Yivarekach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha. Vehunecha Yisa Adonai Panav elecha V'yasem lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.